Martinique, Singapore, and all the places of the world where danger and intrigue walk hand in hand, there you will find Steve Mitchell on another dangerous assignment. Dangerous Assignment, starring Lloyd Burrell as Steve Mitchell.
Yeah, danger is my assignment. I get sent to a lot of places I can't even pronounce. They all spell the same thing, though. Trouble. But when I walk into the commissioner's office, I don't realize this assignment's gonna wind up with me exactly 1 foot from. Morning, Commissioner. You sent for me.
Steve, I've arranged an appointment for you in Oslo, Norway, tomorrow night.
Huh? Who am I supposed to meet?
We won't know until he shows up. Room 21, Hotel Engar.
Is this going to be a friendly meeting, or things have to get rough, Commissioner?
We've been after this man for a long time, Steve. He heads an organization known as the Bureau, International Clearinghouse for Stolen Information.
Sounds like a big business.
It is. This man has agents operating in every European capital, as well as here. They pick up any secret information they can buy or steal, funnel it back to the Bureau, where he sorts it out and peddles it to any nation interested.
I see. So why is he going to show up at the Hotel Engar in Oslo?
He's bringing a payroll. He's to turn over a large sum of money to a man representing his agents in this country.
And how did we find this out?
Our boys grabbed his representative last night as he was about to board a plane for Europe. He talked plenty.
I get it. So I take this gent's place and go on to Oslo to meet Mr. Big.
Uh-huh.
Now, wait a minute, Commissioner. Won't it sort of complicate things if Mr. Big knows what the courier looks like?
He won't. A different man is sent for the payroll each time. The man we have in custody has never met the big shot.
Okay. What name do I use?
Francis.
You're kidding.
Nick Francis. That's the courier's name. Get over to Oslo, Steve. It's vitally important we nail the head of this organization. Well, that's it. You've got your assignment. Good luck.
Sure, I've got my assignment. Get over to Oslo, Norway, under the name Nick Francis, and keep an appointment with a gent who heads an international information ring. It's early Thursday evening when my plane lands at the Norwegian capital. As I saunter through the airport waiting room, I get the feeling a pair of eyes are planted on the back of my head.
Attention, please. Will Mr. Francis report to the information desk? Attention, Mr. Francis. Report to the information desk. Mr. Francis, please.
Well, here we go already. But I don't know if that's good or not. I look around, spot the info desk at the far end of the waiting room, and walk over.
Yes, sir. May I assist you?
You were paging me. I'm Nick Francis.
Oh, yes. A lady has been asking for you.
Oh, well.
Let me see. Over there. You see the large lady with the red hat carrying the parrot cage?
Oh, yeah.
Sitting next to her on the left, the attractive blonde lady. That is the one.
Well, that's better.
Now, here she comes.
Looks like Oslo's answer to Marilyn Monroe.
I beg your pardon.
You are Mr. Francis?
That's right.
I am Helga Stals. There has been a change of plans, Mr. Francis. I was sent to inform you. It is not safe at the hotel.
Thanks for the tip. What now?
You will come with me. I will take you to the meeting.
Okay. Lead on, Helga. Outside, we ease into her car and drive off. During the next 10 minutes, she doesn't volunteer much information, and I don't ask. Finally, she wheels the car to a stop on a small side street in a quiet neighborhood. I follow her down a winding path and around to the front of an old, dilapidated house. We push through the rickety front gate and up to the porch.
Hello? place is dark. Doesn't seem to be anyone home.
Wait here. I will go around to the back.
You want me to come along?
No. Wait here.
Light up a cigarette. And wait. A couple of minutes go by, and then I happen to spot something partially hidden in the weeds not far from the porch. It's a small sign on a post, and I know just enough Norwegian to know that it says for sale. I grab my bag and head down the path on the double. When I get back to the street, Helga's car is long gone. Yeah, as neat a sucker play to get me out of the way as I've ever seen. No blood, no mess, no fuss. Simple but effective. I give myself 3 demerits and spend the next 10 minutes trying to find a cab. It's another 15 minutes before I pull up at the Hotel Engar. As I approach the desk, the clerk adjusts his carnation, flicks an imaginary speck of lint off his cutaway, and turns on a big, toothy smile.
Good evening, sir. Good evening. I am Lindvold. May I help you?
I have a reservation. The name is Nick Francis.
A moment, sir. I will... I beg your pardon?
What's the matter?
You did say your name was Mr. Francis.
Well, that's right. Some friends booked a room for me and...
But how can that be?
Now, look, what goes?
But Mr. Francis is already in his room.
What?
Yes, he checked in an hour ago. He went upstairs immediately.
I don't wait for the elevator. I take the stairs 2 at a clip, and 40 seconds later, I pull up at the door of room 21 and try the knob. The door's unlocked. There's a gent curled up on the floor. He has a surprised look on his face. I guess he wasn't expecting the knife that's buried in his back.
No, no, no. You cannot annoy the guest. We do not allow...
Do you allow murder?
What? What has happened to him?
That Nick Francis?
Yes, that is Mr. Francis. Mr. Francis. Oh, what am I saying? How can you be Mr. Francis if he... You killed him.
Oh, turn it off, Buster.
You killed him. Murder! Police! Murder! Murder!
Oh, fine.
Five minutes later, the law arrives in the person of one Lieutenant Roberg. He clears the room of interested spectators, and when we're alone, I show him my credentials and give him a fast rundown on the case.
Yes, you are right, Mr. Mitchell. The girl you met at the airport was most certainly involved in this.
I don't think she got me out of the way so she could come up here and kill this man, Lieutenant. She didn't have time.
But she delayed you enough to give someone else the opportunity to commit the murder.
Sure. And there's still another possibility.
Oh, what is that, Mr. Mitchell?
Suppose she was teamed up with this gent here. He comes to the room posing as Nick Francis. She keeps me out of the way so I won't gum up the works.
Then our killer could have been the man you are seeking. The head of this so-called bureau.
Right. He walks in, recognizes this gent as a phony, and slips him the knife.
Another possibility, Mr. Mitchell. What if he knew or suspected the man in the room here was a special agent, eh?
I don't see how he could have found that out. It's a thought, not a very pleasant one.
Well, what do you propose to do?
Well, it all depends on what sort of a line we can dig up on the dead man. Who he is, where he's from. I'd like to find out how he tumbled to this routine. How he knew the meeting was to take place.
Well, since he carries no identification, it may take considerable time.
Maybe, maybe not, Lieutenant. Found this in his pocket.
What? A key?
Fits a locker, I'd say. There's a number stamped on the back, also manufacturer's mark.
Oh, yes. Yes, I do not think this will be difficult to trace.
The lieutenant puts in a couple of phone calls, finds out the key is to a baggage locker, and 10 minutes later we roll up in front of the railroad station in a police car. As the lieutenant and I hurry inside, I bump into an old friend.
Excuse me, you.
Yeah, me. Oh, hold it, sweetheart.
I will call the police.
You can whisper for one, Helga. Meet Lieutenant Roberg.
What?
This, Lieutenant, is the little lady I was telling you about. She's in real estate, specializes in empty houses.
Oh, sure. How fortunate we meet. I have some questions I would like to ask concerning the affair at the Hotel Engar this evening.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You can drop that routine, sweetheart.
You're up to here in a murder.
Murder?
Yeah. Your boyfriend.
Rudy, he's... You lie.
A trip to the morgue might convince you.
Rudy dead. No.
Suppose you start from the beginning, huh?
Wait. You do not think that I killed him?
No, we were house hunting at the time it happened. And what was your boyfriend's game? Come on, Helga.
I knew very little about it. We met Rudy and I at the inn 2 months ago. He was a ski instructor.
What inn is this you speak of?
Jorsen's. It is in the mountains near the village of Arvidal. A few days ago, he told me he had uncovered a marvelous opportunity to make a lot of money, that I could help him.
What was this opportunity?
He was to come to the Hotel Engar here in Oslo, pose as a man named Nicholas Francis, and someone would give him the money.
And who was this someone?
I do not know. Rudy did not tell me. He said he had heard part of a telephone conversation at the inn. One of the guests was involved. He did not tell me who that guest was.
I see. Well, Lieutenant, suppose you escort Helga to the car, huh? I'll see what this locker key turns up.
All but here, Mr. Mitchell.
Where's our girlfriend?
In the car. My man is here.
Now, here's the stuff I found in the station locker. Small traveling bag, clothing. Also wallet and identification papers. Checks with what Helga told us.
I see. Well, come, let us go back to headquarters then.
You go on, Lieutenant. I've just bought a train ticket to Arvidal.
You are going up to the inn?
Yeah. I'm interested in the guests staying there. Or one of them anyway. I'd like to find out which one took a little trip to Oslo today.
Having rid himself of Rudy, you think he has gone back to the inn?
Maybe. Probably to set up another contact with Nick Francis.
I see. But suppose our killer knew the man he was to meet at that room was a special agent. Instead, he finds Rudy, whom he recognizes as a ski instructor. He kills him because, obviously, Rudy knows too much.
Go on, Lieutenant.
There is still the agent to be disposed of. You. The killer hurries to the airport to contact Nick Francis, perhaps by the same method the girl used.
Only she beats him to it. But he gets a good look at me.
And now, if you show up at the inn...
Yeah. I'm a dead pigeon. That is, if your theory is right. And if you're wrong... I'll see you around, Lieutenant.
Now back to Dangerous Assignment and Steve Mitchell.
Well, at this point, it looks like Rudy, the ski instructor at Yorson's Lodge up in the mountains, decided to deal himself into the card game by posing as Nick Francis to collect a payroll from the boss of an international secret information ring. Which, of course, is what I'm also trying to do in order to nab the boss. But Rudy got himself dealt a knife in the back, which, of course, doesn't exactly relax my shoulder blades any. Right now, though, it looks like my best chance of finding the killer is up at the inn, so I hop the next train. 2 hours later, I get off at a small village at the foot of a mountain. Then I spot another guy getting off the train. A fat gent with a cane who comes waddling toward me.
Oh, good afternoon, sir. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Is your destination the inn?
Why, yeah, you know where it is?
Sight along my cane, sir, up on the side of the mountain.
Long way up.
Lena should be here any moment.
Lena?
The innkeeper's daughter. She usually meets the trains.
You're a guest at the inn, Mr.?
Whitley's the name, sir. Ronald Whitley. And you?
Steve Mitchell.
Delighted. Yes, I'm a guest at the inn.
But you, took a little trip into Oslo, huh?
Yes, I made a rare find. kind, too.
Huh?
I'm a collector. Isn't this a beauty?
And the cane?
It's much more than just an ordinary cane, you see.
Sword cane?
I'm sorry, old boy.
Look, would you flourish that thing somewhere else in the vicinity of my belt buckle?
Did I come a bit too close for comfort?
Yeah.
Sorry, I haven't quite got the feel of this one yet.
Nice, friendly little collection, sword canes. How about knives? I suppose you're well represented there, too.
Ah, here's Lena.
Hello, Mr. Whitley.
My dear, this is Steve Mitchell, another guest for you.
Hello, Miss Mitchell.
Well, hello.
A charming addition to the inn, don't you think, Mitchell?
Yeah, and I haven't even seen the inn.
Come along, both of you. This is your room, Mr. Mitchell.
Yeah, very nice.
And here... A nice view from this balcony, don't you think?
Yeah. Long way down, too.
Over there, in that direction, is a...
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to crowd you against the rail.
Of course not.
I just wanted to point out the pond where we skate. And down there is another pond, quite beautiful in the evening.
Oh?
Perhaps you would like to see it.
Perhaps you'd like to show it to me.
Perhaps tonight?
That's a date. Now, things happen kind of fast up here. Must be the altitude.
Or the attitude?
Could be. Many guests here at the inn?
Quite a few. You have already met one of them, Mr. Whitley.
Yeah, the gent with the sword cane. He took a quick trip into Oslo last night, huh?
Yes, with Mr. Coulter.
Who's Mr. Coulter?
Oh, not a guest who also took a trip to Oslo.
Has he come back yet?
Yes, on an earlier train this afternoon.
Where is he now?
I believe he's out skiing.
Huh? And those two, Coulter and Whitley, are the only ones who went into Oslo, huh?
Oh, as far as I know. Except, of course, our ski instructor, Rudy. He's gone, too.
Yeah. So he is.
Come along downstairs, Mr. Mitchell, and I'll introduce you to some of the guests.
Fine, Lena.
Oh, here's one of them now, coming down the hall.
Hey, that's some cast he's got on that foot.
Yes, poor Mr. Tassin.
Well, well, Lena, my dear. What do you think of your old cripple now?
I think you're doing splendidly the way you got around, Mr. Tassin. I'd like you to meet another guest, Mr. Steve Mitchell.
Mr. Tassin?
Make it Tass. That's what everybody calls me. Just plain Tass.
Looks like you've had an accident.
Oh, the ankle. Well, that's one on me. Yes, I was a fool. That's all there is to it.
How so?
I live dangerously. That's my motto. Old Tass has been skiing a couple of months, but already he's not satisfied with the easy slope at the back of the inn. No, sir. He's got to try the big one over the ridge.
A very dangerous slope.
Hey, talk about a three-point landing. And one of the points happened to be my ankle.
Quite a few of us saw it happen. We thought he was dead for a moment.
The only thing that saved me, of course, was that I hit first on my head.
See you around, Mr. Tassin. I wander around the inn, sizing up the guests. And, of course, I'm wondering about that cast on Tassin's ankle and if it's legit. But I find out real soon that it is. One of the guests is the doctor who set the ankle. He tells me it was broken in two places. That sort of crosses Laughing Boy Tassin off my list because the gent I'm after killed Rudy in Oslo. And Tassin hasn't left the inn. That sort of focuses attention on Whitley, the sword cane artist, and Coulter, who's still out skiing. Also, I'm wondering about the quick date Lena made with me for tonight. She could be involved, too. Toward night, I wander into the lounge.
Steve.
Huh?
Over here by the fireplace.
Oh, Tassin.
Come and join us in a drink, old boy. Takes the chill out of the bones, eh? You know Whitley, Steve.
Sure, he made quite an impression on me earlier with the point of his sword cane.
Are you enjoying your stay here, Steve?
Yeah, I...
What is it, Steve?
Nothing. I'll be back. What starts me moving is the sight of a man starting down the stairs. It's Lindvold, the clerk from the Hotel Ingar in Oslo. As he reaches the bottom of the stairs, he spots me and ducks out a back door. I pound after him. Outside, he's nowhere in sight. I circle around the inn a couple of minutes, but there's no sign of him, and the snow is too cut up to do any tracking. Then as I round a corner of the building...
Over here! Wait.
Hey! Lieutenant Robert from Oslo, what are you doing here?
I went to the Hotel Ingar to question the clerk, Lindvold again, about the times involved in Rudy's murder. They told me Lindvold had been taken ill suddenly. As I was leaving, I observed him coming out of the rear entrance. I followed him to the depot.
And then here, huh? Well, come on, he can't be far.
If Lindvold is involved, Mitchell, that means...
Hold it.
What's the matter?
Sounds like an engine of some sort.
The ski lift. Lindvold's going up the slope in one of the seats. Come on!
We head for the ski lift, but halfway up the slope, Lindvold spots us and jumps off. We start after him. It's slow going in the snow, but we gain on him. Then over the ridge, he comes to a deep crevice. He tries to jump across. He doesn't make it.
Mitchell.
Yeah, that takes care of Lindvold. Look. I figure he was just a stooge in the deal. Also, the people at the inn can't possibly know he's dead.
So?
So we're going back to the inn and set a little trap. If it works, I hook the boss. When we get to the inn, Lieutenant Roberg goes inside alone. I ease up to a window where I can hear.
Is Mr. Mitchell here?
No, he went outside some time ago.
I'm Lieutenant Roberg of the Oslo police. When Mitchell returns, tell him I'm taking a man named Lindvold into the village for questioning. I want Mitchell to join me immediately.
Lieutenant Roberg leaves the inn. I wait a few minutes, then stroll inside.
I say there was a policeman looking for you.
He wants you to come into the village.
Huh? Well, yours is the only car here, Lena. Could I borrow it?
Of course.
She gives me the keys. I go upstairs, supposedly to change clothes, but actually to wait and see who shows up. I figure the head of the information ring, one of the guests, now thinks that Lindvold is under arrest. If he's afraid Lindvold will talk, he'll either want to stop me from getting into the village or else he'll try for a getaway. Either way, he'll want those car keys I've got, and he'll come after them. And it didn't take him long.
I say, Mitchell.
Whitley.
If you're going into the village, would you pick up a couple of magazines for me?
Oh, fine. Oh, okay.
Here, I've written down the names. Thanks awfully. Hold it, Mitchell.
Well, well, Laughing Boy Tassin, complete with gun. I should have remembered that balcony runs clear across the front of the inn. Hey, you get around pretty well for a guy with one foot in a cast.
I manage. You don't seem surprised to see me.
I'm not. That's why Whitley's showing up through me for a moment. Oh, as soon as I found out Lindvold was in the deal, the light started to dawn, and you were the logical one.
How so?
Look, Rudy, the ski instructor, found out there was going to be a payoff to your representative, Nick Francis. So Rudy decided to pose as Francis and collect.
That's right.
But he'd have hardly done it if he thought the boss was going to make the payoff in person. He had to be sure the boss couldn't come to Oslo. How could he be sure? Well, a busted ankle, for instance.
I see.
Lindvold was to make your payoff for you. But Lindvold recognized Rudy as a phony and knocked him off, and then came back here to report to you.
A nice piece of deduction, Mitchell. But too late. Now just step out of the balcony here and hand over those keys.
Okay.
That's high enough.
What happens now?
An unfortunate accident. It's a long way down. You shouldn't have been standing so close to the rails.
Neither should you. Mitchell!
I dive to one side and Haggerty's gun. It knocks the shot wild. He swings the gun at me, but I duck under and it throws him off balance. All his weight comes down on his bad foot and it can't support him. He tumbles against the balcony rail, which crashes under his weight.
Mitchell, I double back as you suggested.
Hello, Lieutenant.
That was Tassin?
Yeah. He took the big drop, just like his stooge, Linvald. I guess that's what you call two falls to a finish. Assignment, starring Lloyd Burrell as Steve Mitchell. This is a Grace Gibson radio production directed by Lawrence H. Cecil. Be with us again next week, same time, when Steve Mitchell will embark on another dangerous assignment.